Well, central bankers talk a fair bit and often move markets with what they say, of course, but it is rare that their words not only shift markets, but potentially shift sentiment more profoundly. The Reserve Bank's Deputy Governor, Guy Debelle, may have delivered such a speech late last week. Not only did the RBA's second-in-command raise the prospect of further interest rate cuts, but even quantitative easing, if it was needed. Michael Yander is our regular Monday finance commentator. Good morning to you.
G'day, Hamish.
I'm surprised to hear that we're talking about quantitative easing. I thought it was normally a pretty drastic measure that you talked about in pretty drastic circumstances. So how significant was this speech by Guy Debelle?
Look, it is very significant, and it is important to point out that, first of all, Guy Debelle, the deputy governor, did reassert the bank's base case view, which is that the next move in interest rates will be up, although it won't be for some time. So they're still optimistic that the Australian economy will keep growing and that we'll recover from this dip in GDP growth that we saw last week, taking it down to 2.8%. But he did raise the prospect of further interest rate cuts. Now, of course, with the cash rate already at a record low 1.5%, there's not much further the bank can go. Most economists think they can go as low as 1 or maybe 0.75%, but Australia can't get to 0% interest rates because we import a lot more money from overseas, so we need to have positive interest rates. But the RBA governor, interestingly, raised this issue of quantitative easing, otherwise commonly referred to as money printing, to emphasise that the Reserve Bank wouldn't run out of ammunition even if it couldn't cut interest rates further. He said that quantitative easing, like happened in the US, Europe and Japan after the financial crisis, is possible in Australia. Now, just a couple of months ago, it's hard to imagine this discussion. But as I said, those weaker than expected GDP figures last week, along with the continued house price falls in Sydney and Melbourne, seem to have the Reserve Bank assessing its contingency plans. And Guy Debelle certainly spent a lot of time answering questions at the speech about the housing market.
They're back to where they were in September 2016 here in Sydney. In Melbourne, they're back to where they were in March 2017. Melbourne's house prices went up to the 2017, they doubled over a slightly longer period than Sydney, but only about a year longer than Sydney, and they're down 6% now. So I do think it's worth keeping some perspective around that. They are still falling, and so it is something we're paying attention to, both the lending side and in terms of what's happening on the price side and what impact that may or may not have on the economy. The unemployment rate's been coming down, the economy is growing at a reasonable pace. That's not an environment we've seen really anywhere else before where house prices are falling. It's sort of, as I said, it's somewhat uncharted territory, seeing how that might play out.
Reserve Bank's Deputy Governor Guy Debelle. Now, it's usually pretty discomforting to hear a central bank official say they're in uncharted territory and they don't really know how it's going to play out. But it does seem, Hamish, like this is a preemptive version of, if you remember back a few years, Mario Draghi, the European Central Bank president, when he said, we'll do whatever it takes to save the euro. This is basically the Reserve Bank saying, we'll act early and go hard to save the Australian economy if we need to.
So that room full of bank economists, what's the most common reaction from them been?
Well, I think there was some surprise about the candour with which the RBA's deputy governor spoke. Westpac's chief economist Bill Evans says he doesn't think the Reserve Bank is seriously contemplating quantitative easing, but wanted to canvass its options.
I think that was more of a theoretical discussion. I don't think they really expect that will be a necessary policy option. But having said that, it's clear that they think we're in uncharted waters. We haven't seen a housing cycle like this one before, when you've had falling house prices and a falling unemployment rate. I specifically asked him the question about how he saw the end game in the current housing cycle, because other cycles have been resolved with substantial interest rate cuts, and even though he talked about the potential for lower rates, there's not much room there to have substantial cuts, and he wasn't really sure as to exactly how the housing profile would play out.
Effectively, his response seems to be that as yet the Reserve Bank doesn't see what the circuit breaker will be for falling house prices in Sydney and Melbourne.
That's right. Theoretically, one would have to say that the restoration of affordability will be mainly relied upon with prices, rather than in the past. The restoration has been a mix of stronger income growth, much lower interest rates, and price adjustments. And so the question mark is, what is the time extent of this adjustment process, and will there be spillover effects to other parts of the economy?
That is the Westpac Chief Economist, Bill Evans, speaking there with Michael Yonder. We get a couple more updates this week, Michael, on where Australia's housing market is at. What are we expecting?
Look, housing finance out later today. We've been seeing the weakest growth in home loans in decades on some measures, and certainly the weakest since the last downturn 6 years ago on others. That's likely to continue. The ABS home price index is out on Tuesday for the September quarter, but it's a bit behind all the private sector indices. So no surprises there. Sydney and Melbourne house prices are falling.
And this week, Westpac will release its latest consumer confidence index. How important is that going to be in the context of these falling house prices in the lead up to Christmas?
Hamish, it goes back to what Bill Evans was saying. The economists just aren't sure how much falling home prices will affect household spending. There is a theory that rising home prices create a wealth effect that promotes consumer spending. Your house price goes up on paper. It makes you feel wealthier and therefore you spend more. But not everyone sure how big that effect really is, or if it really even exists. Now that house prices are falling sharply in Sydney and Melbourne, we may be about to find out, especially in the lead up to Christmas when retailers are hoping for a boost.
And the Royal Commission hearings may be over, but the financial sector not finding life particularly any easier at this point in time. Westpac facing investors this week, and IOOF executives facing court action.
That's right. Westpac's AGM on Wednesday is widely expected to see a first strike against the remuneration report for the bank's executives. CEO Brian Hartz are likely to face some angry investors in Perth on Wednesday. Their share prices is down, and even though his remuneration's fallen by 9%, that may not be enough, but he could count himself lucky because, unlike IOOF's managing director Chris Kelleher and four other of its senior executives, they're facing potential disqualification from managing companies after APRA, the bank regulator, launched action in court last week, alleging they failed to act in the best interests of superannuation members.
Right. And obviously, Wall Street had a pretty horror session on Friday. How are things likely to start the week here in Australia?
Yeah, it was a 2.2% slump on the S&P 500, a pretty bad fall. The NASDAQ down 3%. Oil was up, however, and the Australian futures don't look like they will fall quite as far, down 0.5% at this stage. That could be because the Australian dollar took a thumping on US markets on Friday, down to 71.8 US cents, Hamish.
All right, thank you very much. Is this your last one for the year, or are you back next week?
Back next week.
We'll see you then, Michael. Thank you very much indeed. Always a pleasure. Michael Yonder is the ABC's senior business journalist.